Worship service. We've had a commercial for reading and a commercial for a youth event that will involve desserts with some kind of pumpkin flavoring and jars in front of those desserts, and you drop your dollar in to vote and the money goes to the youth ministry. I got one more commercial, and that's for Refuge, which is a small group for adults in their 20s, which means 18 to 30 years old. You could be a college student, a grad student, a worker, whatever you are. We hope you'll come join us. We're having our second meeting of Refuge this afternoon. It'll be at 5:15 at my house. And if you are here and didn't get the email, or if this is your first time and you're just hearing about this, come see me after the service. I live about a half mile from here. So I'll give you the address. We all have phones now that just can tell us where to go. I don't know how anybody under 40 would ever learn how to read a map. And I don't know why you would need to learn to. Anyway, we'd love to have you join us. We're going to have lasagna, okay? And we're going to talk about the power of story. At our first meeting, we talked a little bit, we did a lot of get-to-know-you stuff, and then we talked about worldviews. How is your worldview shaped? What is a worldview? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit more this afternoon by talking about the power of story. So come, be prepared to share what's your favorite story. That'll be this afternoon, so I hope everybody who fits that demographic can make it. Well, as Angel said, we're in the book of Acts, and Marone read it earlier. Marone was a little bit nervous about this, but she practiced how to pronounce Lydda and Aeneas and Joppa, and so she was thinking about that. Well, right before the service, Angel said to me, okay, now, is that Lydda? I said, Marone, Angel's seminary trained, and from a good seminary, too. And she and I had to put our heads together, and we agreed that it's ancient Greek, which nobody speaks anymore, so however you say it is how we say it this morning. Please pray with me, and then we'll reflect on this story from Acts chapter 9. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts through your word, through the words that I share. Speak to us, help us hear what you have to say. I know your word is a blessing. I pray that you would prepare our hearts to meet you in this moment and respond in the living of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha. Luke doesn't make any effort to explain how a woman could be a disciple. Yes, Luke knew that the 12 were all men. Yes, we know because we've read the two works that Luke wrote, the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, that there were a lot of women who were devoted to Jesus, and it cost them to follow him, and they paid the cost. There were a lot of women who were committed disciples. Luke offers no qualifiers or any word to minimize what he said. There was a disciple, a passionately devoted follower of Jesus. Her name was Tabitha. Luke does tell us she was committed, devoted, in fact, to acts of charity. When I started out at Hillsong, we went with this mission statement: we exist to make passionately devoted followers of Jesus. Now, we've changed our mission statement since then to we follow Jesus, love others, and share hope. We follow Jesus, love others, and share hope. That's our mission statement now, but it's similar to the first one, and we're still committed to that idea of making passionately devoted followers of Jesus. We know what devotion is. She was devoted to acts of charity, and the word Luke uses for charity literally means good works that help people who need the help. So just in a sentence, the picture comes into focus. In the coastal town of Joppa, this disciple stood out for the way she cared for others. Everyone knew, oh yeah, Dorcas, we know her. She stood out for her care, especially the most needy of people. She did not do it to be recognized. She didn't do it to stand out. Trust me, don't go into care for the poor and the needy if you want to have great fame and fortune. It's not coming by that avenue. No, Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, followed where Jesus led. Jesus led her to poor widows in the community, among the most vulnerable of anyone in a society with no form of social welfare. Once Jesus led her there, she loved with action, out of her own abilities. And then the next verse, the story takes an unwelcome turn. Dorcas got sick. The Jesus-following caregiver died. The heartsick community, so blessed by these disciples did what we would expect them to do. This is what the church did then and now. They got her body and they cleaned and washed her body. They prepared her body. We saw this when Jesus died. The women who followed him prepared him, or they intended to. They went to the tomb and made their own startling discovery. The tomb was empty because he was alive. Well, these women around Tabitha knew that story. So when they prepared her body, they didn't take it to a tomb for burial. They did something that was unexpected. They put that dead, now washed and prepared body in an upper room because they knew Jesus rose from the grave. They hoped the same would happen for Dorcas. And then they sent for the disciple, one of the 12, Peter, the miracle worker. They knew Peter's power came from the Holy Spirit. These Joppa Christians had been there in Jerusalem. We read about this in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit's power came. Or, if they were not among that crowd that was gathered at Pentecost, they came to faith in Jesus through the preaching of some who were there. Either way, they knew that Peter, the man, couldn't do anything, but this man was connected to the Holy Spirit of God. They knew that whatever he did not come from himself, but came from the power of God. So they sent for Peter. He was, Luke tells us, going here and there among the believers. He was kind of just hanging out, waiting for God to tell him what's next. His agenda was what God set before him. Oh, a disciple devoted to acts of love for the poor has died, and the grieving community wants me to come? He went. He was greeted by weeping widows. The text says they showed Peter the tunics and clothes Dorcas made with her own hands. And the English doesn't quite indicate what they were doing when they showed him the clothes. They weren't holding the clothes up for Peter to see. They were wearing the clothes. The reason they could be dressed in these nice garments instead of filthy rags was Dorcas made the clothes for them herself. They didn't show Peter a wardrobe. They displayed Dorcas' good works on their bodies, giving witness to how much Dorcas had blessed their lives. Having taken in the scene and absorbed their sorrow, Peter put the mourners outside. Then Peter did what he had seen the Lord do. He knelt down beside the body of the deceased woman. He channeled the life-giving breath, the Holy Spirit. Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. When he had sent those widows out of the room, it wasn't because he was insensitive to their grief. He felt their grief, but he had to send them out so he could do what God wanted him to do. Just as Dorcas, when she made those clothes, did what God had called her to do. And those widows, when they summoned Peter, did what God wanted them to do. The final act in this drama is verse 42. The raising of Dorcas, verse 42 says, became known throughout Joppa. We are a storytelling people. We tell stories from Scripture to demonstrate the power of God that saves us. The church has been testifying in this way. We have been a storytelling people from the very beginning, from day one. As followers of Jesus, as his church, we testify. In recent weeks on Sunday mornings, we've looked at the SHAPE acronym as a way of understanding our faith. It's originally found in Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. S equals spiritual gifts. H is your heart's passion, what really motivates you, what comes naturally to you. A is your abilities. P, your personality. And E, your experience. It all comes together to demonstrate, to show, to describe life as a disciple. Furthermore, as we live into our shape and then we do ministry, we serve people out of our shape, we are serving God and loving others and doing so working out of our strengths. What comes naturally to us? What brings us joy and energy? Peter possessed spiritual gifts that were clear to see. Reading Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, he has the spiritual gift of preaching. And his sermons have a transforming power. The whole community comes together as Peter calls them together in his preaching. He exhibits the spiritual gift of leadership and clarity of vision. Now here in Acts 9, we see the spiritual gift of miracle working in the most dramatic of ways as he brings her back to life. Spiritual gifts are very important, and we can easily see Peter's. But spiritual gifts are just one part of the story, one facet of the shape picture. We see Peter's experience come into play. It says he was going from here to there, waiting for the Holy Spirit to show him what's next. Now, going back to the Gospels, we know Peter was married because there's a story in the Gospel of Mark that talks about his mother-in-law. So at this point in the story, had his wife passed away? Did she travel with him and she's just never mentioned? Was she with his children waiting in Jerusalem? We don't know the answer to those questions, but we know that Peter's experience made him available to God and ready. What gets me fired up even more than Peter in this story is the way God speaks through Tabitha's shape. Tabitha, Dorcas, had a heart for God. We become devoted to something, and it grabs us. That was Dorcas when it came to caring for the needy. She was a disciple, active in the church, and when she met poor members who came into the community, she didn't need the pastor to tell her what to do or how to care for them. Some people do, and that's okay. But for Dorcas, this was right where her heart beat, and she jumped in. She knew how to care for them. There's some aspect of church life or ministry or community life that comes just as naturally to you. I was thinking about our own church family here, and Susan Dunn came to mind. And now this might not sound all that exciting to you, but I thought of Susan Dunn, and I thought of record keeping, and I thought of history. She's been the clerk and the note taker since I've been here. Does it sound mundane? Well, let me tell you, if I had a nickel for every time I asked her for some institutional knowledge, some history, some piece of information that we needed to move forward, if I had a nickel for every time I asked her for that, we'd be well on our way to paying off this mortgage. And that's one example of your heart's passion speaking into the way you do ministry. I could offer many other examples of people in this church. I could offer other examples from Susan's life. We could talk about prayer because she's also one of our leaders in organizing prayer in the church. That's H in her ministry shape. We also see the A, the abilities on display in the story of Dorcas. It was on the bodies of the women who loved her so much. She made the clothes for them. Can you sew and make your own clothes? Some of you absolutely can. I know you can. I can't. This is not a part of my abilities. But if you can, then you can connect with Dorcas and appreciate this part of the story. She used her ability to meet a very practical need for impoverished people. The story of Dorcas is so important for us to see how God speaks into the community. The raising, the miracle that Peter brought her back to life, that was a big deal. But you know what? She would go on to die again and then be raised on the last day when Christ returns, and all of us who are in Christ are raised in resurrection with him. The greater importance of the story is the way we're invited to retell it in the way we live our lives. Acting out of her heart's passion, Dorcas offered what she had, and God's church was blessed. What do you have to offer God? What is your ministry shape? I had the privilege this summer of being one of the chaperones on the youth mission trip, and I saw this with the P in the shape, the personality. We had a small group, but in our small group, there's a lot of differences. We had kids that were, one in particular, kind of shy, not easily warming up to others. We had other kids in the group who were very outgoing. Well, the shy ones in a group like ours can really turn in on themselves and become kind of isolated. It was a 5-day trip. By the second day, I said to the outgoing kids, look, grab him and get him into the middle of the action. And boy, did they. By the end of that trip, the shy one's sitting with a group of kids he doesn't even know, dealing the cards in a card game, because these other teenagers acted out of their personality to include him. Recently, we had families with teenagers visit our church on a Sunday morning, and those same youth went out of their way to greet these families. One of our older members commented to me, "I was so glad to see our youth go over and speak to that family of visitors." It's an example of a young person leading the way by living out of his ministry shape, in this case, his personality. So what do you have to offer? What are your spiritual gifts? Your heart's passion. You have a heart's passion. Now, you might not be like me and up on stage talking loudly and gesticulating about it, but you have a heart's passion, something that really excites you. Maybe that needs to be untapped in a way that you use that to speak the gospel through your life. What are abilities you've developed in your life? Your personality, your experience. Put it all together and watch as God speaks through you in this community and in the world. And it's not for building up the kingdom of God. God doesn't need us. When Jesus came, the kingdom of God came near. And Jesus came whether you or I ever discover our shape and live into that shape or not. The reason the shape stuff is so important is we bring our ministry shape to God as an offering. The story of Dorcas invites us to do what she did. We offer ourselves to God to be of service in God's kingdom. In Philippians 2:17, Paul writes, "Even if I am poured out as a drink offering, I rejoice." We offer our very selves to be poured out. We are clay in God's hands. We offer ourselves to be used as God sees fit. One of the ways a church is critiqued is with this question. If that church stopped to exist, stopped existing, if we just erased that church, would the community notice that it was gone? If tomorrow morning we woke up and Hillsong wasn't here and it wasn't going to be replaced by Hillside, it was just gone, would the community notice that the church was gone? And I think the answer for us is yes. I think the community, there's a lot of ways we serve the community, a lot of entities that we're in relationship with, and people who come on Sunday mornings. If Hillsong suddenly stopped existing as a church, I think Chapel Hill would notice. When Dorcas died, when she ceased to be, the people around her noticed. They felt her absence. Dorcas was caught up in serving God, and people wept at her passing. Our Chinese pastor, Hong Zhu, who was down the hall leading a small group Bible study, put it this way. When she's trying to get people involved in ministry and she's recruiting, and especially if she's a little frustrated because she's getting more no's than she is yeses, she'll say, "Don't they realize this work of God is the most amazing thing they'll ever be part of?" And she absolutely means it, and she's absolutely right. Do we see it? Do we see that when we serve God, especially when we serve out of our shape, who we truly are, we will tap into the greatest joy that can be known? They noticed when Dorcas was gone. God worked through her. She was passionate, and lives changed. Her story begins a disciple named Tabitha. Now it's time for your story and mine. What we've read in the Bible comes to life when we walk out of here following Jesus, serving Him out of our shape. We are passionate. God works through us and people are blessed. And lives are changed as they turn to Jesus. The opening line of this story, the one that starts right now, is a disciple named Jesus. And you fill your name in the blank. Amen. This is a response time in our church. We're going to sing.